Father God, we thank you for Danny. We thank you that he's come to give his time for us. We know life has been hard in the last few days with his family. We pray, God, that he's come and said, yes, I need to be here. So we're privileged to have him here. So God, we ask a blessing upon him, that you would renew the desire to share about you for our benefit. And we pray we'd have open hearts to hear from heaven through the words and through the ministry that Danny brings us this morning. Bless him in Jesus' name. Amen.
To be sure, to be sure. He's going, oh no, he's already started. You know, this guy came up last night to the table. Me and my daughter were sitting here, right? She's not here, so I can say this. Because I got the jando last night when I went home. Because she thought, you know, I went and left her at the table on her own and went to see mum. And she couldn't get out because she had no intentions of coming to these meetings. But this guy here, Steve, walks up to the table and says, oh, does he, what he does, you know, the crazy stuff. And as he's talking to her, I'm laughing, I'm looking at him. And he's doing this, to be sure, and, you know, all this stuff, whatever. And I'm thinking, man, all I could see was a leprechaun. It took me back to the Irish leprechaun, so I'm like, this guy looks like... And he's does doing this with his beard, you know. She was howling. I mean, she was laughing her head off, you know, and it was really good for her. Because it's been hard. She came over from Australia, you know. I had to call her from Australia, look, you better come over and see mum and just... And spend some time with her. It'd be good for her heart. And it was just awesome. I mean, mum was in hospital at the time, and she just, you know, as soon as she saw Sapphire, she just cried, because Sapphire hadn't been here for 4 years. And... Sapphire, she's like 26 now, but since 18 she's not been walking, and you know, she's been on tiki tour, you know, tiki tour. But you can't get off God's road once you've been on it. You just go little tiki tours, but you know, train a child in the way they go and they'll never depart. It doesn't mean they won't have tiki tours. Right? It doesn't mean they won't have tiki tours. They will have tiki tours, believe me. But anyway, 4 years not been here, and this that little incident last night was, and she looked and she says, I really like that guy. So I went, yeah, he's the main speaker. She went, oh, really? I could see the face. Well, I don't know if I like him anymore. You know, question mark, you know, in the face. Question mark. But anyway, she stayed. But I'd got the jando last night when I went back, because she's, oh, you put me in a position. I was sitting and I didn't feel comfortable. I didn't want to, like, walk out the room. And I said, you could have walked out the room anytime you wanted. And I said, you were sitting there. But you see, I'm talking spirit, soul, and body, new creation reality stuff, right? See, if you're not living and walking in this word, see, the word of God is the mirror, yeah. Right? It's the mirror. And the Bible tells you in James, don't be like the man who looks in the mirror, walks away, and forgets what he looks like, and forgets the zits on their face, you know? Yeah. You know, when you look in the mirror, you're like, oh, there's zit here, there's zit there. And you look, is there, right? Well, the Bible is the mirror. And no matter how long you've been born again, no matter how long you can be walking with Jesus for 35, 40, 50 years, if you walk away from that mirror and you stop looking into that mirror, you will forget what you look like.
That's good.
You will forget what you look like, because this reflects who you are. This is your reflection, not the world. Not the world. The world always wants to give you pictures. Right? That's why they are bombarding you with TV and programs and movies and all these things. They are trying to train your mind and sow seeds and to give you a picture the way that you should think. Right? That's the world. In fact, I got into a conversation. What have I got? 10 o'clock? Better get moving here. Anyway, I got into a conversation like at the table there, and I started talking, thinking along these lines. I used to work in social work back in Scotland for 10 years in a children's home, 13 to 18 year olds. Man, it was crazy stuff. I mean, mental stuff, like and mental. I don't use this language. It must be this guy's pulling on me. Listen, my background, you know, I'm Scottish, right? But I had a grandfather who was Irish, right? Right? Northern Ireland, right? He was Northern Irish. My grandmother was Italian, right? I mean, her name was Domenica Gargano, right? My grandfather was Daniel McClintock, right, to be sure. My grandmother was Domenica Gargano. So you talk about a mixed up, you know, my other grandmother was English, right? And my other grandfather was Scottish. So where did, no idea where I belong, right? It's like a dolly mixture, you know. And, you know, the Irish and the Italians, he's Protestant, she's Catholic, right? It was like war in the house. It was like fiery, you know, Irish and the Protestant. And I grew up with this stuff. See, in Scotland, it's not like here, like, you know, like the Protestants, the Catholics. I mean, I've got lots of friends here that are Catholics and Protestants there, and here, right? Beautiful people. Over there, it's a different ballgame, right? It's a different ballgame. And I don't know if you know anything about the Orange Lodge, right? The Orange Lodge, nightmare stuff, right? Walking with their big orange sashes on, you know, a bit like, anyway, I won't go down and sit and say all their stuff. What's what I'm saying on camera here? You know, they're walking down the streets banging their big drums, you know, not even in tune. Doom, doom, like down the streets. And Orange Lodge is to do with the Protestant faith and, you know, resisting the Catholics and the whole deal. It's hatred over there, right? It's absolute hatred. It's not. It's nothing to do with God, right? There was a guy that used to preach over there, a guy called Ian Paisley, right? Hey, the guy was full of hatred. He was full of hatred. A caller. He probably wanted to be a lawyer and couldn't make it. And he ended up becoming well, not even a minister. I don't know what he was. But anyway, he was full of hatred, this guy, and preaching hatred. Mum and dad used to have a hamburger and hot dog van. And we used to go to these Orange Lodge festivals, right, that they had with all these, not because we were part of it, just because we were taking their money. We were selling them hamburgers, right, and hot dogs, right, feed their faces. But you go to these like that, and you just seen the hatred with the whole thing. In fact, even my brother, I mean, if I would talk to my brother about, you know, even about, like, trying to talk about Christianity, he goes, no, listen, I'm Protestant. He's never been in church in his life. He's got no idea what even Protestant means, right? But I used to speak to my dad before. My dad eventually got saved, right, before he went on to be with heaven, with Jesus. But my dad was the same. Oh, I'm Protestant. Dad, what does that mean? I'm Protestant. What does that mean? It doesn't matter what church. What really matters is, do you know Jesus? End of story. Do you know Jesus? Right? I don't care what church do you. Listen, living, you know, you living in the garage doesn't make you a car. Right? Going to church doesn't make you a Christian, right? Now, going to church can make you a better Christian if you're sitting under the Word of God, right? But it's Christ in you, the hope of glory, that makes you a Christian. It's receiving Jesus Christ. The only way to heaven is Jesus, right? So the name over the door is not the big deal. The name and your heart is the big deal, Jesus. So being in Scotland, you know, the Catholic humanity, hatred. I remember as a kid, I grew up across from Celtic Park. Right, I'm a Rangers supporter, right? I brought up as a Rangers supporter. And you've got to understand, in Scotland, there's two major football teams, Glasgow Rangers, Glasgow Celtic, right? Celtic are all Catholics, Rangers are all Protestants, right? It's nuts, right? And in fact, Rangers, way up until the early 80s, right, would not even sign a Catholic on their team. And when they first signed a Catholic, Mo Johnson, his name was, when they signed Mo Johnson, there was Rangers supporters outside burning their scarves. Until he scored the first goal, that was. Against Celtic, right? It shows you how nuts that is, right? Burning their scarves, but then he's, oh, he's brilliant, yeah. Come on, Mo, you can do it. If you missed a goal, that's it. Burn the scarves, boys. The world, you know, being moulded and shaped in Romans chapter 12, it talks about this, you know. That's what Paul says, you know, present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, right? And he says, don't be squeezed, moulded and shaped into the way that the world wants you. Don't be squeezed and moulded and shaped, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. He's talking to the body. He's talking to Christians. He's not even talking to sinners. Be renewed by the renewing of your mind so you are able to prove the perfect and good will of God. You will never prove the will of God and the good and perfect will of God until you get that mind renewed. Because as many people are born again and still have always wrong ways. Listen, if you think wrong, right? You think wrong, you believe wrong, you'll think wrong, you'll act wrong. And you'll have all of these things, you know, like going on in your head and, you know, discrepancies about people and nations and other. That's what's happening in Scotland. You go to a swimming pool in Scotland because you don't swim outside because it's too cold, right? I don't think I've ever swum in a sea in Scotland, right? You got the North Sea on one side and I think it was Atlantic on the other, yeah. Right? Listen, I think there wasn't much schooling in my life, so I grew up, right, with the carnival people. You know carnival people? Show people? Right? Traveled all around the country. Right? Carnival. What do you call it here? Carnival? Car. What did you think I was saying? Oh, can opener. Cannibal. Carnival. You know, show people, right? You know, like the fairground. I grew up. Circus. No, that's a different breed, sorry. Different breed. Circus, different breed. Gypsies, different breed. We were actually show people, totally different breeds altogether. So I grew up with that, traveling all over in the country, you know, with the show people. So I missed a lot of schooling because we only went to school, you know, like a couple of months a year because we're more interested in making money and traveling with the shows and having enjoying life. So I'd go and sit in school and think I was like on a different planet because I'd missed the foundations, right? And thought I was stupid. Why? Because I missed the foundations and no idea what these guys were talking about. Instead of somebody getting a hold of me and filling in the gaps. But you see, in Christianity, it's the same thing. If you miss the foundations, my pastor's always saying to me, you will only ever be as strong as the foundations in your life of Christ in your life. And the foundations is what we've been talking about over this weekend, about your passion for Jesus, about looking to him, the author, the finisher, the developer. He is the author, the finisher, and the developer of your faith. There's one mediator between God and man, and it's Christ Jesus. We respect and we honor men of God and all the gifts that God puts in our life, but at the end of the day, it's between you and Jesus. It's your relationship with him that counts. I know I'm jumping all over the place here, but... So anyway, you go back to the swimming pool, right? Didn't swim outside. It was swimming pools, heated swimming pools, right? Because you didn't see much sun in Scotland. It was dark grey clouds, right? Summer came on a Wednesday every year. So you just need to know what Wednesday it was, right? Or you missed out. So you go to the swimming pool, right? And we call them shuggies. I haven't heard it. Little shuggy, right? These little guys, little 7 and 8 and 10 year olds, and in the dressing room, they come out from the swimming pool, and they're standing there singing these songs. Now, forgive me if there's any Catholics in here, right? Hail, hail, the Pope's in jail. This is kids at 7 and 8 and 10 year old singing songs like that. They've got no idea what they're singing. Why? Because they've been molded and shaped and transformed into what? These people and their parents, because of all these things that they believe in, are molding their children's lives. Right? And these little kids are singing these songs, you know, sectarian songs that they call them, basically of hatred about the Pope, and then you've got the other side doing the same thing. As a young man walking down the Gallowgate, across from Parkhead, right? Celtic Park, right? Celtic Park. I lived right across the road from that, and I was a Rangers supporter. I used to come home at night and basically run for my life to get up the road because people knew that I wasn't a Catholic. I mean, I was in terror. As a kid. It was terrible. And these Orange Lodge people would be marching down the road with their bands and all that. One guy, I remember this, walked across and broke, they called it breaking the ranks, walked across the road. They nearly kicked this guy to death on the side of the road because he walked in front of this crazy bunch playing, you know, drums and whistles because the Orange Lodge protesting against Catholics. It was hatred. That's the world. That's religion. Jesus never came to bring division with religion. He came to bring a kingdom, to reveal a kingdom. He never talked about religion. If you read the Bible, you'll see he's always talking about kingdom principles, laws, and how to move into the dominion and the domain of the kingdom of God. In fact, Jesus made statements and he says, the kingdom of God dwells within you. The kingdom of God dwells within. There is a kingdom. There is a sphere. There is a sphere of influence and dominion that dwells within your spirit the minute you get born again. The kingdom of God is within you. But people are trying to live from their natural minds, right? What religion is, trying to do things in their own ways. Man cannot know God in his own wisdom. Man, in fact, the Bible tells you clearly, man does not know God because of their own wisdom. Right? It is the wisdom of God by the Spirit of God that reveals who God is. So unless a man's born again, unless you've been born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. And born again simply means receiving Christ into your life. Your spirit man gets born again. Your spirit man is instantly sanctified, instantly holy, instantly righteous. Your spirit is righteous, holy, and sanctified instantly the minute you get born again. positionally in Christ Jesus, you are holy, sanctified, washed, a brand new person. I love these songs that you sing, the new. I mean, that just done my heart as soon as I seen it. I'm sure he saw it. I just, my eyes, new creation. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. Old things have passed away. I've been born again, more than a conqueror. See, what are you doing? You are singing the word of God and you're planting those seeds within your spirit and it will become a reality in your life. Right? And that's why any songs that we should be singing should be so filled with the word of God, because it's the word of God that brings the light, the wisdom, and the understanding and empowers you. One man says this, feed your faith and starve your doubts to death. Feed your faith and starve your doubts to death. How do you do it? By singing songs like that, by speaking the word of God, by decreeing and declaring the word of God, by hearing. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Feed your faith and starve. People say, but I doubt all the time. Well, feed your faith. The antidote from doubt is faith. You can feed your faith with the word of God. Feed your faith and starve your doubts to death. And you have the ability to do that by feeding on the word of God. So growing up in that background, didn't want to know religion. Didn't want to know about God. Because you've seen the hatred. What a whole deal. And I'll probably go into it more tonight about testimony, because I know that's really tonight is more important about the testimony side of it. But, you know, God got to me. I mean, I used to walk around with hair down here. That's long black hair, right? Big, curly, frizzy. You know, I used to have the old perm, right? In the 70s. I've got photos on Facebook, mate. I'll tell you. My sister put them on last week when I was 16 with the long hair down here, but a wee leather tie and stuff, you know, the old cool dude, you know? And the long hair. And there was days in my life that in Scotland, you know, when Scottish people party, they party. At New Year, it's 3 weeks, mate. It's not like, you know, the bells ring and that sits over. Right? 3 weeks later, they're still lying about the streets drunk. Right? I mean, the bells go in Scotland, right? And there's people in your house that you've never seen in your life. Where do these guys come from? Right? Because everybody walks around chatting on the doors and, oh, come in for a drink. And this goes on for days and days and days. Right? It's a different culture. So anyway, where am I now? The word of God, right? Let's go back to this. When you see them songs and you see how to be transformed into likeness, the Bible talks about we're supposed to be transformed by the word of God, the renewing of the mind, so we're not shaped and we don't think the way the world thinks, right? That we're supposed to think like he thinks, like our God thinks. In fact, Isaiah says, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. And people preach that and they go like that, oh, your thoughts is not God's thoughts. But he didn't tell you that you couldn't have his thoughts. That's why he gave you the Bible, to take his thoughts, so that you can think his thoughts, so that you can think in a higher level, in a different dimension. Right? By taking his thoughts, people, you can quote the scripture, oh, we have the mind of Christ. No, listen, people, this is the mind of Christ here. He wrote it down on paper by the Spirit of God for you to read the mind of Christ. I don't know the will of God. Well, read the Bible. I don't know if I hear God. Well, read the Bible, because he's speaking to you through the word. This is his thoughts. This is his mind. His mind is, listen, son, I've made you more than a conqueror. Listen, son, I've cleansed you and washed you by the blood. Listen, son, I took your infirmities and bore your sicknesses and carried your griefs and taken your sorrows. Listen, son, come into my presence. And we sung other songs, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I've heard some people come up to me over the last few days, so I'm trying to get into it. Over the last few days about the stuff I've been talking about the new creation. How do you operate in the new creation reality? How do you walk out of your spirit man? Your spirit man will only be empowered and have dominion as you will speak the word of God. I was dealing in a class last week with one of our students, right, from over in Asia, right, and she's here for 3 months. And she came up and she said to me, and she goes, she was really, really timid, and she's going, she was trained at the church that she was in Asia, where she lives. She was trained like that. It was almost like you don't speak out the word of God because the devil will steal it. Oh, my God. Talk about deception. Talk about demonic. And this is a pastor telling her things like that, right? Her sister, who's Asian too, has been coming to the classes for the last 2 years. And Anglican church, she went to the Anglican church, right, for 30 years. 30 years went to Anglican church and suffered sickness most of her life. After a year and a half of being in the class and teaching them how to take the word and how to speak the word and declare the word and decree the promises of God, she says, she made a testimony last year. She says, the first year in my life that I've never been sick. She says, I realized that God gave me dominion, that God gave me authority, that I can rise up inside and take dominion and speak the word of God and the promise. See, we've got to reinforce what he basically done at Calvary. Because he died at Calvary, does that mean that all people are saved? No. Because you have to accept and receive. The cross has been done 2,000 years ago. Everything he's done has been done 2,000 years ago. But you have to receive it by faith. Everything that he's done, you have to receive it. The just shall live by faith, move by faith. You have to receive it by faith. I believed that there was a God before I got saved. But I never confessed him into my life. And see, this is the power of the confession. This is the power of, see, how many people that you know, oh, they believe in a God, they believe in God, right? But he's there, I'm here. He gets on with his life, I got on with my life, pie in the sky, right? But the reality is this, the Bible says, if you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, right? And you confess that Jesus, with your mouth you confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, right? It says, for with the heart man believes unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Confession is made, but see the Catholic Church over the years, again, please don't, I'm not criticizing, I'm just talking about some teachings, right? And you see about confessions and whatever. Jesus is never talking about, we've got this mentality about confessing sins, and we're so sin conscious. But God does not want us to be sin conscious, he wants us to be righteousness conscious. And that's why we've got to make confessions. Jesus is at the right hand side of the Father, and the Bible says that he is the high priest of our confession, but not of our confessions, of our feelings, and our groanings and our moanings and our weepings. He's not the high priest of that confession. He's the high priest of the word of God. When you start to speak the word of God, when you start to decree the word of God, Jesus is going, that's it, I'll confirm that word. I will confirm my word with signs and wonders following. And listen, the word of God will not return unto him void. When you speak the word of God, it will not return void. But it's not about you speaking to God and saying, oh God, this is happening. Oh, listen, the psalmist David, even wasn't a New Testament man, wasn't even born again, and yet the psalmist David had a revelation of speaking the word of God. You read all through the Psalms, and psalmist David would say things like, bless the Lord, O my soul. He would speak to himself. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name, for the Lord is good, and his mercy endures forever. What's he doing? He's encouraging himself in the Lord. In fact, he would speak to himself, and he says, soul, why are thou so cast down? I'll tell you, it was cast down because there was people that wanted to kill him. There was people wanted to destroy him. The kingdom, the things that were happening in the kingdom, he was a king, right? And people had this idea. David was one of the most powerful kings on the face of the earth. He was a warrior. But the reason why he was such a powerful king was because he was a praiser. Because he was a praiser. He wasn't a moaner and a groaner. He was a praiser. You look at Psalm 18, and he would give you two or three verses of the situations that death is surrounding me. The bulls of Bashan want to devour me, and all of these things. Two verses, but then 38 verses he talks about. In fact, verse 1 and 2 of chapter 18 of the Psalms, he opens it and he starts to say things like, hey, Lord, you are my strength. You are my shield. You are my buckler, right? You are the God of my salvation. What is he doing? He's entering into the realm of faith by speaking who God is to him. He's activating his faith in God. Doesn't Jesus make statements like this? He says, have faith in God. What is faith? We've misunderstood some things that Jesus has been talking to us. Have faith. What does that mean? Oh, it means trusting God. It's a lot more than that. Trusting in God. Faith is actually a law that gets put into operation. A law of faith. It talks about it in Romans chapter 3, verse 27. It's a law that goes into operation. It's a spiritual law. Like I say, when you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, it wasn't until you confess with your mouth, you put a law into operation, then the Holy Ghost came and you got born again because there was a miracle happened in your spirit the minute you confessed Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. But you had to open your mouth and confess him as Lord. Before I confessed him as Lord, I wasn't saved. I believed there was a God, but I wasn't saved until I personally said, Jesus, come into my life. And I put the law of faith into operation. Faith, people, is this. Faith is this. Faith is believing. The Apostle Paul said it this way. Faith, Paul says, I believe, and therefore I speak. I believe, and therefore I speak. So let's put it this way. The Bible says the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. We've read scripture that for years and never understood it. The just shall live by faith. The just shall walk by faith, right? I believe, and therefore I speak. I'm more than a conqueror. I believe, and therefore I speak. I am the redeemed of the Lord. Psalm 103. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. If you are not calling yourself redeemed, blessed, sanctified, holy, you will never walk in the revelation of it. Now, people said to me the other day, and the service, and he goes, you know, you must memorize a lot of scripture because it just flows out of you. I said, I've never memorized scripture in my life. Now, you're looking at me all funny here. What's wrong? I've never memorized scripture. Come back and... No. It's easy, people. We've made it hard, and yet so simple. When I fellowship with Jesus, I'll just use Psalm 91. I'll open the Bible and Psalm 91, and I'll just lift my hands and I'll say, Father, I thank you that I dwell within the secret place of the Most High, and I abide under the shadow of the Almighty, and I say of you, oh my God, that you are my refuge and my fortress and my shield and my buckler. And I thank you that you give your angels charge over me. I speak the word. I speak the word. And the word, when I'm speaking, I'm reading the psalm. I'm not reading it quietly in my mind. There's too much going on in your mind and your life. There's too many things happening. The spoken word is more powerful than the thought realm. The spoken word is more powerful than the thought realm. Thought, you can't overcome thoughts with thoughts. You overcome thoughts by the spoken word. You overcome thoughts. You see, the only weapon the devil has is lies that comes. People talk about spiritual warfare. The greatest spiritual warfare you'll ever have is in here. Right here in your mind. In your mind. The spiritual warfare in the heavenlies is for the angels' job. You speak the word of God and the angels go into operation and they're dealing with stuff. And well, give me scripture for that. Hey, go into Daniel. And the Bible says when Daniel prayed, it says the angel of the Lord came to him and said, Daniel, the day that you first prayed, 21 days you were fasting and praying. The day that you first prayed, God heard you. But there was a battle in the heavens. And God had to loose angels in the heavenlies to deal with the battle to bring the prayers to pass in Daniel's life. Right? So you're not dealing with those things personally within the heavens. You're speaking the word. And the fact the Bible says in Psalms, it says when you speak the word, the angels hearken to the word of God. They hearken to the word. So when you're speaking the promises of God, the angels going, oh, we're on board, boys. We're ready to go. You start to speak the word, and you say, oh, I'll never work. It'll never happen. Oh, angels are standing there. You've put them on hold. You speak the word of God, and the angels go into action. So the greatest spiritual warfare is actually in your mind. The devil comes with lies and deception to people's mind. They've got perceptions of who they are because the world has molded them and shaped them, and they've grew up in families and told them no good. I mean, I went to, when I did go to school, I remember being at secondary school, not for a long time, walking up the stairs and I had this case in my hand and bumped this guy's, I think it was one of the teachers, at the back of the ankles. Accidentally. He turned around and kicked me. He said, Smith, you're no good. He called me a gypsy. I wasn't a gypsy, I'm a traveller. Get it right, buddy. Wrong culture, right? Smith, you're in trouble, right? You're no good, Smith. You never make it. Well, that's funny. I may have had an education in school, but the greatest education you can get is in the kingdom of God. Because the Bible says in Proverbs, with all you're getting, get spiritual, get understanding. Understanding of what? Understanding of spiritual things that will change and transform and develop your life. I'm telling you about some of these things today. Like the psalmist David, bless the Lord, O my soul. Why are thou cast down, O my soul? He was speaking to himself. I'm telling you, there's times even over this last couple of months because of the challenges that we're in. I'm telling you, the soulical man and the emotions, right? I mean, I walked into the bank. I teach this stuff. I'm telling you, I teach this stuff, right? I've taught it for years about spirit, soul, and body and your emotions and your feelings. And God gave us those things. It's not that those things are wrong, but they're never to lead your life. They're there as a servant, right? Your body's there as a servant. They're never to lead you. Your spirit man is supposed to lead your life. But this week, this last couple of weeks has been such a tough week. And I just got a bit tired. And I went into the bank to get some things. And I walked in. And it's funny because I knew this person. I went to go to the counter, and there was a person in the office, and I saw her. And I walked into the office, and she looked at me. She says, "How are you doing, Danny?" All of a sudden, I lost it. I just lost it. I'm standing there. Tears are flowing down my face, and I lost it. And I'm thinking, get a grip of yourself. What's wrong with you, right? Yes, there's times that you need a release with the tears, but let me tell you this. The tears and the emotions will never change anything. They never change anything. It is faith that moves the hand of God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And faith is believing and speaking according to the word of God. So I had my little weep, my little cry, right? But I've got to get back over into the realm of faith and stay in the realm of faith and stay in the realm of believing that my God is able, my God is bigger, my God is stronger than any situation that's faced us in our life. And you've got to stay in that realm. And it's like, that's what David was doing. He's going, "Why are thou cast down, O my soul? For the Lord is good and his mercy endures forever." And there's times I've taken myself by the ear and looked in the mirror and going, "Hey, you. That's not who you are. That's not how you think. Think like this. Think on the things that are good, that are holy, that are praiseworthy. Think." I've got to make myself look in the mirror and speak to myself. There's times you'll have to grab yourself and look in the mirror and tell yourself who you are. Tell yourself who you are. There's too many people that have been speaking to us and over the years. Like, I mean, there's an old saying, if you speak to the fool in the man, you're going to get the fool. But if you speak to the king in the man, you're going to get the king. If you speak to the princess, this is for your marriages, people, even at your age, right? If you speak to the princess will appear. But if you speak to the fool, because there's a fool and a princess, there's a fool and a king, and every one of us, the foolish is the carnality. But the kingdom mentality and the kingship and the princess is inside. The new creation created in the likeness and the image of God. We are created in his image. We have his nature. That's why we should be fellowshipping around the word, speaking, exhorting. No wonder the church in the book of Acts was so powerful. It says they daily broke bread together. They worshipped and they praised and they glorified the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And God added to the church daily because they fellowshipped around the word. Not about opinions and all their, you know, and their insecurities and their jealousy. They fellowshipped around the word. They were full of the word. In fact, even you get to the book of Acts chapter 4 and it says things like, they were being persecuted. They were being persecuted because they were preaching the word of God, right? They didn't go to God and say, "Oh God, please deliver us from this persecution," right? We get a bit of persecution and we're going to God, "Oh please, Lord, take me away from this." And they went to God and they says, "God, give us more boldness that we may speak thy word only. Give us more boldness that we would speak thy word in the face of all adversity." We have got to become a people that will rise up inside and speak in the face of adversity. That's the Bible says the righteous are as bold as a lion. The righteous are as bold as a lion, that you will stand in the face of adversity. That's what righteousness means. It means you will stand in the face of all adversity without condemnation, without guilt, overcoming every situation. Why? Because you're standing in the presence of your Father. If you're standing in the presence of your Father, if God is for you, then who can be against you? The Bible says that we are snared by the words of our mouth. Proverbs, right? We are snared by the words of our mouth. 15 minutes left, so I'm going to try and hit this. Let me turn to Romans chapter 8. So, as I'm turning there, I want to say, Proverbs says, you are snared by the words of your mouth. Your mouth. Not other people's mouths. If you receive the negative reports and you receive what people see, you have the ability for people to say things to you, but you are in charge whether you receive it or whether you don't. And yet, all the way through Proverbs, he's saying, receive my words. Receive my words. Don't receive what negative people are saying or demonic activity is saying and telling you what you are and you're no good and you'll never make it and the way your feelings is telling you that you are. Hey, receive my words. Receive my words. Receive the word of the Lord. Stay, keep your face in the word. Keep your face, keep your spirit filled with the word of God so that you can, my pastor would always say, don't minister out of the dregs. Minister out of the overflow. Well, there can't be an overflow if you're not pouring in. Because what's going to come out, you know, you squeeze somebody and you'll see what comes out. You have conversations with people, right? You have conversations with people and all that comes out is rugby. No, I'm not going to get in trouble because I'm a soccer man. Just put your stones down, right? Put your rocks down, right? I don't like rugby. It just doesn't do that for me, right? I'm a soccer man. That's me. But I like the All Blacks when they're playing. All good. But, you know, you press somebody and you have conversation and you'll know what they're full of because of the conversation. Because Jesus says, from the abundance of your heart, your mouth will speak. From the abundance of your heart, your mouth will speak. And if you're speaking about the problems all the time and declaring the problems, right, there's a time to speak in the right counsel of people and share your heart. There's nothing wrong with that. But if you're going from this one to that one and this one and declaring your problems and speaking your problems, you're being snared by the words of your mouth. Come on, Proverbs says this, life and death is in the power of the tongue. In fact, it says a little bit around, death and life is in the power of the tongue. And those who love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Sometimes we get ourselves in places in life and we think, how did we get here? If you really checked your life and checked your mouth, you'll find out how you got to that place. Because you're putting spiritual laws into operation against yourself and you don't even know it. Right? And I'm going to show you there's some scripture. Let's go to Romans 8. It says, in verse 1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Say with me, no condemnation. Are you in Christ? Are you in Christ? Do you know Jesus? Well, there's no condemnation when you're in Christ, right? In Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit, right? So people have always quoted that, oh, there is condemnation if you walk in the flesh. God condemns no man. God will convict you, but he will never condemn you, right? Condemnation comes because if we walk in the things of flesh and we're doing wrong things, the enemy comes around. The enemy puts a situation in your life. Let's just use men, whatever, and we're being bombarded with so many things in society and pictures and all the rest of it, right? And if men start looking on the internet and looking at the wrong things, all of a sudden, they know in their spirit that it's wrong to do it. But if they get caught in that stuff and they start to do it, condemnation comes because a spiritual wickedness comes around the other side and starts saying, hey, you call yourself a Christian. How can you be a Christian? Look what you've been looking at, right? And condemn. And then what that does, it pulls you further and further away from the presence of God. Instead of running to God when you are in trouble in those situations, right? Listen, your sin has got nothing to do with the devil. Jesus paid for your sin. So if you've blown it or messed up or whatever, you have to run to your Father. He is your Father. And your Father, you have an advocate with the Father, and it's the Lord Jesus Christ. He, the Bible, he turned around and says, Father, I cleansed him. I washed him from that. I died for that. You have a lawyer standing and talking to the Father on behalf of you. You are supposed to run towards God when you're in trouble. Don't run from God. Run towards him. The Bible said if you confess your sin, he is faithful and just, forgive you from all sin and all unrighteousness. But what I'm trying to teach is this. The more you start to speak the word of God and talk about that you're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. In fact, it says this in Corinthians. It says, chapter 15, it says, awake! Awake unto righteousness and sin no more. But it's been preached the opposite way around. Oh, sin no more and you'll be righteous. That's hogwash. Because you're becoming sin consciousness all the time. And the more sin conscious you become, the more the hole gets bigger and bigger and you can't get out of it. But when you start to become righteousness conscious, you start to become God conscious, then God strengthens you, empowers you, and you'll walk in a place of victory. Awaken unto righteousness and you'll sin no more. And as you've got to awaken to who you are in Christ Jesus, when you awaken to what he done at Calvary and paid the price for you, and that awesome price was his life, and he rose from the dead after 3 days, and he's made you a new creation, more than a conqueror, the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. When you start to speak the promises of God, the Bible says in Peter that you are partakers of the divine nature through the promises of God, through the knowledge of God. People are perishing for the lack of knowledge. And the word knowledge in the Old Testament says this, a lack of redemptive revelation of who you are and who he is. Lack of knowledge. A redemptive revelation. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. You have to be saying so on a continual basis over your life. And I'll tell you why. We'll go back to Romans now. All the way through the Psalms, through the Proverbs, life and death and the power of the tongue. There is two laws in this earth, people. There is two laws, right, that can work for you or work against you, right? And I want to show you what these two laws are. There is therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law, say the law. For the law of the Spirit of life, see, first law. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. there is two laws. And I gave you the first law from Romans chapter 3, I think it's verse 27. I won't turn now. When you confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you put a law of faith into operation. When you spoke, it says you believe in your heart, confess with your mouth, right? That's the principle all the way through the Bible. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. When you put that law into operation, only when you put that law into operation, the Holy Spirit attracted the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit came inside, and you got born again. You became a new creation when you put it into operation. But it was you that put it into operation. Somebody shared the gospel with you. That's why it's so important to share the gospel, share about Jesus, and sow the seed to them. Why? Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And then when you basically make a confession, the law goes into operation, and therefore there's a supernatural dimension of God basically causes something to happen with inside of you, right? The law of faith, it's called. I believe, Paul says, I believe, and therefore I speak according to the promises of God. So that's the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. So when you're speaking about the promises of God or singing about the promises, you're putting laws into operation all the time. Right? All the time we don't even realize that we are putting laws into operation. Okay. Laws of gravity. Any scientists in here? You don't need to be a scientist, but anyway, right. Here's a guy that didn't go to school and ask him. Anyway. I know about gravity, right? Because I've had a few falls in my life, right? Thought I could fly when I was tripping on LSD, right? But we wouldn't go there, right? Falling through buildings and all sorts of things. You stand on top of a building. You can't see the law of gravity. You can't taste it. You can't smell it, right? It's a law that God put into this earth to keep you on this planet. Otherwise, you'd be, right? Oh, he's a min man. He's off. Where is he going now? There he is. Oh. The law of gravity keeps you on this earth. It's a law that God placed within this earth to keep us on this earth, right? It's a law. Whether you believe it or whether you don't, doesn't make a hill of beans. What does that mean, hill of beans? This side or that side, you know? Or it could mean, no, we won't even go there. Beans could mean something else. We'll not go there. There's women present. Don't lose your thought, Dan. Don't lose your thought. Right, okay, the law of gravity. You can go up on a building, right? And you can say, I don't believe in the law of gravity. That's nonsense. Can't see it, can't touch it, can't smell it. Nah, doesn't exist. Step off the end of the building, buddy, and we'll see where you believe or where you don't. You're coming down, right? You're coming down. Now, the only thing that supersedes the law of gravity is what? The what? The law of what? Say that again. There you go. The only thing that's... Oh, we've got some smart people in this room, eh? The only thing that supersedes the law of gravity is the law of lift, right? The plane, the aeroplane goes along that runway, right? You stand and think, is this thing ever going to get... Is it ever going to get off this? And you know, people are freaking out. Is it ever going to... This massive plane and all of that weight and those jet engines go into gear and all of a sudden thrust. They put thrust, right? And that plane's up and it supersedes the law of gravity, right? It supersedes the law of gravity. But once it's up there, right, if that pilot turns those engines off, buddy, right, they are coming down, right? Because that engine has to stay on to keep the law of gravity at bay so it can supersede it, right? So what I'm saying is this. Your mouth is the engine. Your mouth is the engine, right? And that's why the devil over the years has tried to come against so strongly against this. They call it the faith message, coming against, you know, the confession. Oh, it's just parrot fashion. It's a lie from the pits of hell, because he knows the very engine that will take you into a place with God in the realm of the Spirit that will cause you to rise above things that you couldn't rise above. Your mouth causes the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus to go into operation. When you start to speak what he has already done at Calvary, all the promises of God are yes and amen. When you start to speak according to what he says, how can two walk together unless they're in agreement? Unless you get in agreement with the word of God, who you are in Christ Jesus, what will happen is, if you don't speak like that, you'll speak like something else. You'll start to speak. We used to have a guy that come to my house many years ago in Scotland. Went to a different church, won't say what church it was, because I'm not into about, you know, churches or whatever. He just went to a church and he just wasn't being trained properly, right? It's very, very important that you're trained properly. Our lives are a disaster because we've had some stuff that actually is not even biblical. It's religious thinking and it's caused damage within our life. right? You would not send your children to a school that was actually not giving them a proper education, and yet our spiritual life, which is eternal, right, we mess with it, right? And we let people speak into our lives, right, that basically is religious junk sometimes. This guy comes to my house. Week after week, on a Wednesday night, he used to come to my house, and he'd walk in. Remember the old advertisement, the Ascot powder? Eyes red, nose running. That's what he looked like, an Ascot powder. I don't know if they get this or not, I don't know. Ascot powder, right, it's something for the flu, right? It's something for the flu, it's a medical thing for the flu. And it's a little advertisement, this guy with a big long nose and big red eyes. Right, Ascot powder. He walked in like an Ascot powder. Every time he came to my house Wednesday night, I would sit him down, born again, spirit-filled Christian, just went to a different church that I went to, and I would sit there and I would speak the word of God to him. I'd speak the word of God to him. I'd feed his faith. I'd feed his faith. I would just speak the promise of God, tell him who he was in Christ, encourage him. The Bible said, exhort one another. Exhort one another. I would exhort him who he was in Christ Jesus. I'm telling him, watch me. This is what happened. He's sitting there like the basket powder, and the word of God was going out, and all of a sudden, his spirit would just rise up inside, and his spirit man would go, I know that word. I know that that's who I am. And his spirit would come alive, and you could see the light coming in his eyes, and all of a sudden, he'd walk up my house with his shoulders back, righteous, bold, strong in the Lord and the power of his might, because the word of the Lord was empowering his spirit, right? But next week, he'd come back. Why? Because you can't mix your seed. There's farmers in here, right? You can't mix the seed. The word of God is the seed that causes and empowers your life. You can't mix the seed with religion and the word of God. The word of God is pure. It is fire. It is powerful. It empowers you, right? So you are in charge of the two laws. You either speak the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus, of who you are in Christ, or you will start to speak, and he will start to speak things like this. Oh, I'm just an old sinner saved by grace. Now put your rocks down. You're not an old sinner saved by grace. You were an old sinner saved by grace, but the minute that you received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you became the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You are no longer a sinner saved by grace. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. In fact, the Bible says that you are a joint heir with Jesus and an heir of the Father. A joint heir of the kingdom of God and the things that belong in the kingdom. You are a joint heir with Jesus. The Bible said that you are seated with Christ in heavenly places, in a place of dominion, in a place of authority, in a place of power. You are kings and priests on this earth. We are supposed to be taking dominion. Genesis 1 and 26, God created man in the likeness and his image. And the first thing he says to man, when he created in his likeness and image, he says, and I give them dominion over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and everything and every creeping thing. And that means those guys that are anyway. Everything. And it amazes me on the earth today, you've got people who are involved in alcohol, it's destroying their lives, and smoking weed, and they're all plants and come from hops and beer and all that. And you know, it's taking dominion over them. And God created man to take dominion, and yet the earth is taking dominion over man and causing destruction within his life. God called us a people of dominion and authority. He lost it in the garden, but the second Adam, which was Christ Jesus, came and gave us back the dominion in his name. And so that's why all the scriptures, the church should be spending most of their times in the epistles, because the epistles were written to the church, to the born-again, spirit-filled church. If you read the Gospels, now listen, if you only read the Gospels, you would have no idea who you are in Christ Jesus. Because those men that Jesus walked with were not even born again. What? They weren't born again. How could they be born again? He hadn't been at the cross. Every man that came from Adam died spiritually. Separation. Didn't die, totally die. Adam died spiritually. He lived for 900 odd years. His spirit was separated from God. Couldn't live in that same presence with God. Right? He died spiritually. He was separated from the presence and the dominion that God gave him. And that's why Jesus came back to bring the dominion back to man. So when you get born again, and you could not get born again because Jesus became sin at Calvary so that you could be free and you could be born again, that the Spirit of God could come and live inside of you so that you could start to speak and think and do and say what he wanted to do through you. So all the scriptures in Ephesians and all these scriptures in him, through him, and by him, you should meditate on those things. I'm seated with God in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I'm a joint heir with Jesus. I'm more than a conqueror. This is who I am. If God's for me, then who can be against me? We have got to be keeping those laws into operation. And as long as you keep the engines fired up with the word of God, because the word is the very fire that powers the engine rolling in your spirit is rolling and rolling in your spirit, and you're speaking, it will keep you walking and talking and thinking and empowered by the Spirit of God, because the Holy Ghost quickens the word that's within you. The Holy Ghost is attracted to the word that you speak. Come on, Genesis 1. In the beginning, God. In the beginning, God spoke the word. And the Holy Ghost was there. It says the Spirit of God, he was hovering. He was hovering. In fact, I preached this one time and says, oh, he was hoovering. 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 And then I said, oh no, he's hoovering up the darkness. Got myself out the hole, I think. The Holy Spirit, he was hovering. He was waiting. He's waiting. The Holy Spirit, waiting, hovering. What was he hovering for? Waiting for the spoken word. In the beginning, God spoke and created the heavens and the earth. Created the heavens and earth through the spoken word. And the minute the spoken word, the Holy Spirit, he's the creative power of God. God, the Holy Spirit, is the third person of the Trinity. And he is the one that basically puts things into action the minute you speak the word in your life. So it's the principles all the way through the Bible. In the beginning was the word. The word was God, is God. There's nothing created that is created unless it's through the word of God. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us, which was Jesus. So when you're speaking the word, the Holy Spirit is waiting. He's hovering. He's waiting to put a law into operation to change and transform and change your circumstances. No wonder God wanted to fill the body of Christ with the baptism of the Holy Spirit so you could get out of that stinking mind. Because when you pray in the Spirit, you bypass the mind. Right? Now sometimes, if you have not renewed your mind with the word of God, right, it can take you an hour. Right? To actually get into the presence of God and be focused at what you're even praying in the Spirit. It can take an hour, but the more you do it, it can be within seconds. Because you can make as much noise with your mind as a set of drums. Right? So God filled us with the Holy Ghost so we could pray the perfect will and plans and purposes of God from our inner pulse. I will sing with the Spirit, but I will pray with the Spirit, but I will sing and understand with a spirit man. Your spirit man rises by the unction of the Holy Spirit, will pray the divine mysteries of God through your mouth. What is he doing? He's putting the laws of faith into operation and he's creating things for your life. One little story and I'm finished, right? A man of God in north of Scotland. The north of Scotland. This is powerful. John Penny's name is the north of Scotland. He was a deep sea diver, right? Before he got saved. He wasn't even born again. Wasn't even saved. And he was in the north. He was a deep sea diver and, you know, the big helmets, right? Brass helmets and stuff. And he used to weld things under the North Sea in the north of Scotland. And before he got saved, he was down there, and what happened was, this big beam, or the chain, snapped and trapped him, and basically, it was over, Rover, right? It was over. It was like there was no hope. And he tells the story, and he says, all of a sudden, I'm there, and I seen the chain snap, and I was trapped, and that was it. It was basically over for me, right? Because the pipes or whatever were severed, or whatever happened. And all of a sudden, this beam just went, it was lifted straight off of him. No idea what happened, right? And his life was saved. Anyway, years later, he gets saved. Right? And he becomes a pastor. And he's pastoring a church in the north of Scotland. And then there was an American guy that went to London. And he was preaching in London. And he was looking for a contact in Scotland because he wanted to come to Scotland to preach the gospel. So this guy phones John Penny up, knew John Penny. So he calls John Penny up. Tells John, so it gets the hookup. This American guy goes, preaches in John Penny's church. After the preaching, they go for lunch. And they're sitting talking around the table about the things of God. And just fellowshipping. And all of a sudden, this guy starts talking to John Penny. And they're talking about prayer, right? Praying in the Spirit. Praying in the Holy Ghost. It says in Romans, when you're praying in the Spirit, sometimes you don't know what you're even praying about, right? But God knows, because God knows the mind and the will and the purpose of the Father. God knows what's going on. See, sometimes you pray prayers, oh, bless me, bless Auntie Mary, Uncle Jack, you know, Mary Joseph, John, whatever, right? Natural mind's only got certain things it can do. But the Spirit of God knows what's happening in every dimension and every person's life. We have a power within us, the Holy Spirit, that goes beyond the natural, way beyond the natural. So this guy is talking to us, fellowshipping. And he says, I was in the States a few years ago, and he says, the Spirit of God came upon me. even though he lives lives inside of you, he also comes upon you, right? And he says, I had the sense to pray and intercede, and I was praying and groaning in the Spirit, like Paul talks about, praying and groaning in the Spirit. And in Acts chapter 8, verse 26, groaning and travailing in the Spirit. The Spirit of God was groaning and travailing in the Spirit. And he says, all of a sudden, the Lord showed me a picture of this man under the water with a brass helmet, and he was trapped under this. And John Penny's sitting there and looking at this guy and going, oh my God, oh my God. He said, that was me. He described to a T what happened to John Penny the previous years before John Penny was even saved. The power of God that lives inside of it that can cause and save men's life, that we have to be a praying people. We have to be a people who are speaking and declaring the word of God and the promises of God, building ourselves up, renewing our minds, and restoring our minds with the word of God. But so passionate for Jesus that we can be sensitive to the Spirit of God, that people's lives can be saved through the power of prayer. Now, I know I need to close there because it's 10 past. Hallelujah. Father, what was that? Father, we just thank you. Father, we just thank you for today. We praise you for today. We thank you, Lord, there's two laws, Lord, in this earth. We thank you there's two laws, Lord, and you've given us the ability, you've given us a mouth to speak and declare the word of the Lord. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, Father. That, Father, that when I fellowship with you, I fellowship you through the word because it does so many things in my heart. It brings faith to my heart, Lord. It renews my mind and it empowers my spirit, Lord. I'm so thankful, Lord God, that you've given us your word. Your word is precious. Your word is holy, Lord. This word, Lord, is powerful. It's alive. It's not any empty book. It's not a novel, Lord God. It's not a Mills and but was it? Yeah. It's a love story of Jesus. Father, I thank you. It's a love story of Jesus and the principles of the kingdom of God. So, Father, I thank you today. I ask you to bless my brothers and my sisters, Lord, with the word of God, by the spirit of wisdom and revelation and understanding, Lord. That, Lord, that they would come from this place, Father, and speak and declare and decree the principles of God and put laws into operation, that things would be changed and transformed in life because they yield themselves to the word of God against all circumstances, that they will put these laws into operation, that Holy Spirit, that you will hover over that word and bring it to pass as they would speak it out of their mouths. So bless them this day in Jesus' name. Amen.